Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Marina Cohen, and I'm the host of today's Jungle Podcast, What Would You Do Differently? A podcast that allows business professionals with 10 plus years of experience to reflect on a moment in their career where, if given the chance, they might have done things differently. The whole idea of this podcast is to let you, listeners, learn from other people's mistakes, maybe hear what's going on for people. You look over there and think, how did they get there? And you'll hear other stories around some tips and tricks that'll go well beyond just the professional world. Without any further ado, that's what we do, I'm going to introduce our first mystery guest. So mystery guesses are a part of the What Would You Do Differently concept. And these are people who have very high-ranking roles, who really want to share and tell stories to the community, but perhaps just think pragmatically it's not a great idea to put my identity out there just at the moment. So, welcome, mystery guest one. How are you today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you. Thanks for coming along. And I'm lucky enough to have heard some of your story. So, why don't you just start telling us about your story and what's really motivated you to come here today and tell it?
Yes, I think rather than a single event, it was more of a creeping change. I have been in leadership positions for probably a good 15, 20 years, and found post-COVID there was a real shift in the expectations of leaders and a real shift in the way people interacted. Obviously, we went to sort of more teams-based, not face-to-face things, and I noticed a really significant move towards some behaviours that would not be acceptable in a workplace, and that were sort of washed back on me as a leader and washed back on the team, and had some very profound impacts emotionally on the team and those around me. So knowing what I know now and seeing, be able to stand back a bit from the whole sort of COVID experience and post-COVID experience, I think I've got some really interesting lessons that I would have taken into those roles post-COVID than I would have even thought or contemplated of pre that time.
What types of things? Yeah.
Okay, so I think it wasn't a single event, but what we did notice is that people seemed to have lost a boundary between home and work. And I know people working long hours and it was a very fearful time, but we did notice that interactions across a medium like Teams or Skype or any of those brought in more aggressive behaviours. And it was less congenial, much less congenial. And we also found people brought in personal experiences that they were, the traumas and things that they were experiencing at home and that have always been around us. So, you know, death of a loved one or marriage breakdowns, friendship breakdowns, those things were sort of compartmentalized in a home setting. Actually came into the workplace. Yeah. And we had quite a distressing experience. We lost a team member to a heart attack. One of my team members lost a partner, a lifelong partner. And what we found is that those events came into the workplace and over a team sort of setting when no one was prepared. So in past times, if you had that sort of trauma in your life, you would stay at home for 6 weeks. You would have 4 weeks off, or you would sort of shield yourself and not come out in the world. But by having a really easy access into the workplace and not actually having to sort of fully emotionally turn up, which you do in person, you could come in via Teams. And we found that very, very traumatic as a team, as we were watching probably more closely than you would some of the things that were going on in people's lives. So that's the thing of the podcast, the name of the podcast. I found myself as an accidental counsellor. And what I did find is that it emotionally burnt me out. Mm. Mm. Yes. So
Do you feel like you had the skills to, I mean, you're a smart person. I know you're a smart person, but do you feel like you even had the skills to cope with some of this stuff?
I certainly had the skills that I could direct people to the emotional support that they needed. So, you know, the enterprise assistance program, support, sort of counselling stuff. But what I didn't have was the skills to set the boundaries in the first place because they were sort of natural boundaries that we had that all of a sudden weren't there. So I certainly don't feel that I had the necessary structure around me to support me going through some of these things, and probably let it go on too long before I sought help for myself. And I don't think I genuinely understood really what was going on in the world, because it was such a weird time for everyone, I think. So
this is like people coming to you, offloading or talking to you within the I guess this weird sanctity bosses have now of saying, how I'm having this emotional issue, can I talk to you about it?
Yes.
And you're having to absorb all that on top of all the normal pressures of work. Mm-hmm. That's what we're talking about, isn't it? It's that type of work relationship. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What were some of the topics that came up in that, without, you know, obviously revealing the grim details of it? But
some of those grim details are interesting, but no, we generally won't reveal any of any of those. You know, people's medical issues. You know, you would often, you know, as I've come up through the sort of ranks, you would often say to your boss, "Oh, you know, I've got to go to hospital and have a brief little bit of surgery. I'm going to have a couple of days off," and it would be left at that. But we actually have people coming into the workplace and fully describing what's going on with them. And although we do don't want to shut down people's connection and people's support mechanisms, because work does offer a great deal of support, some of the details are horrifying. And I think the loss of a team member and the loss of a team member's partner, two different people, that came in ways that was quite surprising, because in some instances, we these are everyday events, and fortunately, or unfortunately, we're touched by them and we support people through these, you know, life-changing events. It was the ability of the people just to sort of keep popping in moments that you wouldn't expect. So, you know, as I said, you'd normally have a sort of a 4 to 6 week period off where you'd grieve, but the people would come in and sort of grieve publicly, and gave them some comfort, but traumatized those people around you. And so,
there's been a lot of emerging discussion around this pursuit of being the individual, that in doing that, coupled with this perfect storm of social changes going on, we actually forget that we're impacting everyone else. We don't take responsibility for it. The pursuit of self is now so far above the pursuit of harmony in the community that it's leading to stuff like this. People just coming in, they feel, I don't think it's entitled like aggressive. I don't know about you, but I've had this exactly the same, not on that scale where people have lost or have lost, but people just come in and they're, I don't really know, these are clumsy words, but they're that self-absorbed and they're just in their like bubble, and you as a boss is trying to, you know, be supportive for them, but you've also got to find the balance to be able to support the rest of the team as well, because you know this person, I recall an incident happened a few years ago where someone decided to do something, and it was a bit, you know, it's one of those things that a bit, you're either for or against, and it was shared with the whole team. And I guess that, you know, that's their, I think in their mind, they're like, well, that's who I am, that's who I'm going to be, and, you know, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. But the roll-on and the knock-on effect that had throughout the rest of the, you know, the team was profound. And I got to tell you, I was not equipped to deal with either side of that transaction. I was just like,
I think there's a psychological term now, which I'm familiar with now, but wouldn't have been then, which is called vicarious trauma, and the expression of loss, or the expression, you know, the example that you talked about is you are looking to involve others so that they understand how you feel, but in doing that, you're vicariously traumatizing them, and it's that loss of connection between your actions and others that I think over the last 4 or 5 years I've noticed a really profound shift, and the emotional events that people are willing to share now, regardless of whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. We talk about vulnerability in the workplace and bringing your whole self and finding your passion. It comes with a need for some emotional maturity that perhaps isn't there, that we've never really thought about needing to be there.
Well, no. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not sure the scaffold business has emotional maturity in a part of our development. No. So you can go in at any level of maturity and still participate in the game.
Yeah, I'm a big follower of Simon Sinek, who's the leadership guru and author and writer, and he talked about it as not having emotional professionalism.
Yes.
And an inability to handle stress and an inability to handle conflict. And it seems that some of these things that were really, really stripped away when we were so physically isolated from ourselves. And I think in the roles that I play, could I go back in time? That would have been the one thing that I absolutely would have done from day one of building a big team like the one I currently manage. Is conflict management skills, is stress management skills, and building those into sort of core competencies, not just the business analysts, not just the systems analysts, because in the worlds in which we operate, everything's conflict. You know, conflicting times, conflicting schedules, conflicting business priority, conflicting financial priorities. All of those things are conflicts, and I think we when we bring our whole selves, we bring every bit of that, and we bring our big opinions, and we're not as afraid to state them now as we were maybe 10, 15 years ago, but that brings with it conflict and some of that emotional conflict. So I think that's the key for me is looking back, had not had my time again, better skills at really building boundaries and helping people to establish boundaries for themselves. Whether they be emotional or work-life boundaries and all those things, and then just underpinning with conflict management and stress management.
I've got a question on notice, Do you think a lot of the business, your opening statement about how things have sort of degraded or declined a bit and the lack of congeniality, I 100% agree with you, by the way. I think there's been a real... real decline in that elegance that we used to see with a lot of business transactions. It's more, I don't know the words, but it's definitely not like it was. But do you think that lack of congeniality is just a general evolution that we may have to get used to, where all relationships are transactional now? What can I get out of this relationship rather than, you know, I like you as a person?
I don't want to say yes, because it's a horrible thought. I don't want to. I was thinking about it the other day that we talk about the sun rising and the sun setting, and in actual fact, neither of those things happen. We revolve around the sun.
So
if you think about that in terms of a work sort of setting, we don't. The work isn't going to change to our mood. It's not that the businesses aren't going to, because I really wish and hope that I can be vulnerable and I can be my true self. The workplace isn't really going to change because we revolve around the workplace. It's like the sun. And And you see, you know, you're in this and you've done the business change thing, how hard it is to change an organization. How hard it is to change those sort of underlying patterns. But this sort of lack of congeniality and this sort of, you know, TikTok approach to life, I know you and I have talked about this separately, is an attempt to this whole influencer thing that is an attempt to say, I am the sun and the world is going to revolve around me and my needs. And that's the lack of congeniality and the lack of genuine engagement and emotional engagement in the environment which you find yourself. I find it horrifying that I can go to a seaside location and take a photo of myself using a certain product and get paid for it. You know, that sort of influencer mentality, it doesn't exist in anything other than on social media.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's some of the conflict we're seeing at the moment, because we've sold, not we, but the big tech companies have sold this sort of dream, the new American dream is to be an influencer. Life doesn't work that way. You revolve around the sun.
And it is, it's a really unfulfilling world as well. Yeah. You know, it's quite there's a lot that is getting lost out there. Mm-hmm. It's my secret belief that I think social media usage will be the smoking problem of our generation.
Yes. Yeah.
And I reckon they'll look back on our generation to go, oh my God, look at them just letting their 2-year-old kids sit on and watch there. You know, no wonder these kids have now got ADHD and behavioural problems, and they've not learned to bond with people and all this stuff. And I think it'll be worse.
Yeah,
smoking. All right.
Yeah. I was reading a book recently. Yeah, sorry. It's cut me out a little bit, but I was reading a book about meaningfulness, and to have a really meaningful life, the argument of the book was that you need to have a passion, and you need to want to work in that, but it has to have objective value. And a lot of what we see on the social media things and whatever is subjective value, and so it's not actually meaningful. And so in a bubble, you're right. I think when we look back on this time, in a bubble, a million TikTok followers is subjectively valuable, but objectively, what are you actually giving the world? And I think that if we look at Van Gogh, and he had subjectively beautiful artwork, but at the time that he was alive, objectively, no one cared. Everyone looked at it and went, that's a bit weird and yucky, and no one would pay for it. It was only sort of 8 years, 10 years after its death, and now that it's got an objective value. So at the time, he lived a relatively meaningless life, but now it has huge meaning to us because we now have an objective value of the work that he did. So it's
But it's interesting times. We found meaning in his output that I know he struggled with. Oh my God, I've got so much to think about now. What an amazing little time to talk and reflect on a Friday. So we just covered a bit about, I like this idea of the accidental counsellor. It makes me feel better because some of the behaviours I've seen, I'd say for me it feels like they've gone down a bit, but also as a leader feeling so incredibly poorly equipped to deal with, I agree with you, I think some of their boundaries just get violated a bit. I don't think it's necessarily intentional. I think some people do, but in the main I think people are just a bit clueless, and they just go, I've read this thing about being vulnerable and sharing and empathy, and here I am, my whole self. And it's like, mate, that's beautiful, but some of it you got to think of how we all work together and how that all works together. Doesn't mean you suppress it. You just got to find ways that we all work together really nicely.
Yes.
And in terms of going forward, going backwards, what you've done differently? Conflict management training, or just skills and discussion, or maybe just prioritising it as a part of the leadership handbook of how to let people get through conflict well and understand that you can still be friends but still disagree on things. In fact, there's an Italian saying that is, you're never friends with someone until you've had a fight.
That's a good saying.
I like to pick fights, so then
you find out who stays.
On that note, thank you so much, mystery guest one. Thank you for being brave enough to come and tell your very, very articulate, very interesting story.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. I'll buy coffee next time. But now people might follow us to see who you are. Unlikely. You're nobody.
No. The sun doesn't revolve around me. I revolve around the sun, remember?
100% me too. I got nothing. All right. Thank you once again, and have a great Friday.
Thank you. You too.